Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend in Fuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Hey, buddy.
He's back.
Hey, buddy.
And then running the boards is Joey D's.
Wah.
Wah. On today's show, we will talk television. I'll talk with Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach.
Von Kallenbach.
And of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. Because it's going to have our podcast, blog, and more. Or just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com app, iTunes, and if I didn't say Instagram, Instagram.
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 Instagram. Instagram.
I like photos.
If you guys are in the Pacific Northwest area, I want to say that maybe you should go to a convention this weekend. It is happening today. And tomorrow,
what?
And Sunday,
what?
Ace Comic Con. We talked with Garib Sheamus last year about this, and we'll repost that up on the Facebook page if you guys want to check out that interview as well. But this is the one that has all of the Marvel celebrity guests. They got Chris Evans, Josh Brolin, Zoe Saldana, Don Cheadle, Jeremy Renner, WWE superstars, so much more, comic book artists, comic book writers. This is a really fun one. So if you are in the Pacific Northwest area, you can hit up the WAMU Theater and the CenturyLink Field Event Center this weekend to go check it out. Super simple to find as well. If you just go to acecomiccon.com/Seattle-2019. Also, just check out our website, too.
Are you saying I can see America's ass this weekend?
In fact, yes, you may.
Oh, boy, that's a deal.
Let's talk some television. BJ?
Yes, sir.
Are you watching The Shield?
Shield!
Marvel's Agents of Shield.
Yes, and it is. It's out there. And literally out there in space.
Oh, yeah.
This was a fun episode. This was focusing on, really, in a weird way, they were caught in this mind trap by these simulacrons. How do you say that word?
Simulacrons?
Simulacrons, yeah, I think is what basically.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, they're not robots. They're sort of something else, but they're very robotic. And they need the help of Fitz in order to help them create something so that they can live, but they don't care how they do it because they have no soul, but the one dude that's been helping them has sort of rebelled against his Enoch, the Simulacrum, however you say it.
Simulacrum,
him too. Yeah, he's rebelling against the rest of his Simulacrums in order to try to free Gemma and Fitz from this mind prison. And while they were in the mind prison, they actually got to relive their lives. We got to see how they met. We got to see them as young kids.
So
it was a fun episode, sort of like a throwaway episode. We get to see sort of them hang out and try to work their way out of this mind prison. It's in space. There's a lot of cool special effects, and you know, the story's going nowhere near the Avengers, and that's what's really got me sort of like, oh, I really was hoping for more of a tie-in. There's not really any tie-in.
And they've always had that sort of issue going between the television show and, but at the same point, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. usually had a little bit of at least a loose connection with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
So it's always been kind of weird. I mean, obviously, since Coulson has been a part of them since the beginning, it's one of those that you're like, all right, okay, are you going to really have all of the Endgame stuff going on?
Do you think they're
going
to wait till Spider-Man comes out to finally kind of maybe dip a little bit more into the storyline? Like, maybe they're waiting for something?
Well, I don't know, Joe. The way this is going, they've already established a story arc, which is there's a bunch of guys we don't know who are running around destroying planets, including the Simulacrums.
Simulacrums.
The Simulacrums planet.
This is fun.
Their planet has been destroyed. destroyed, and now the people have destroyed it. They're on Earth, and they're run by a guy that looks like Coulson, but is not Coulson, because our Coulson, at least as we're told, is dead. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what the hell's going on, and I don't know, maybe there'll be a tie-in, but I don't know how we could be. So far, that storyline looks like it has nothing to do with anything Avengers or Spider-Man, but you don't know.
And that's the one thing is also I'm like reading online, and these are articles from earlier in May when the Endgame came out, you know, because it came out at the end of April, and they're just saying that they're just not going to do anything with Endgame, and they're avoiding all of it altogether.
Oh!
Yeah, and I don't know if, I mean, obviously things can change at that point, but it seems like they want to create their own stories and have all of that and just not be around when that's going on.
Yeah, because it felt like they're trying to set up, like, Spider-Man to be young Tony Stark. Like, that was what they're going to, like, do. So I was like, oh, maybe he'll come in at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, like, save the day or something when become Tony Stark or something. I don't know.
Did they have anybody really do that for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Kind of have, like, a cross-promotion?
No, the only thing, I was watching something recently where Captain America was mentioned in a show that was, oh, actually, it was Jessica Jones. Never mind.
Oh.
Okay. But, I mean, they're throwing, the Marvel names are getting thrown around in a lot of different places. So I don't know. You know, it does look like it's its own thing, and that's all we're getting. It's entertaining enough. Mm-hmm. We'll see, you know, with this sort of this anti-Phil Coulson and see who this guy ends up being. And I don't know if these are good guys or bad guys, even though they're coming off like bad guys and they kill a lot of people. If they're trying to do good, I don't know what they're doing. We'll see. You know, there's always a little twist in some of these shows, but it's entertaining enough. But I was talking to Vicky. Vicky's had a hard time jumping back on board with S.H.I.E.L.D. Can't really blame her because I don't know. I didn't read a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, so I have no idea how closely this parallels any Marvel stuff at all. I don't know.
Sure, it's not.
And that's one of the things too. Also, it's like usually when it was S.H.I.E.L.D., it was Nick Fury, which they've relegated to all of the main storylines, obviously. But those were with the movies.
Yeah.
So they're just doing it's. And I don't even want to like be mean about it, but it's kind of the B team sort of thing when it comes to it. And unfortunately for me, I after the first season, I wasn't interested. It never got me back into it, other than when they did the old Hail Hydra thing. But that was also a tie-in with Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the last I saw was when May had to put her husband away.
Yeah.
And that was many seasons ago. Yeah, and it was just like, I tried to get past it. And I rewatched the episode. And I was just so, could not get into it. And it was so hard to move past it. But with S.H.I.E.L.D. in general, I'm sure they're S.H.I.E.L.D. comics.
Yeah.
But I don't know anybody who has any desire to read the S.H.I.E.L.D. comics. And I think the characters from S.H.I.E.L.D. are good or are best when they're just sprinkled in here and there, mm-hmm. whether it's with Deadpool or Captain America or even X-23.
Yeah.
I don't know. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s kind of like, eh.
Yeah, and the problem that S.H.I.E.L.D. has, and I think a lot of shows have, there's really good competition out there now.
Absolutely.
I mean, Krypton, which we actually haven't mentioned, but their new season has started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Krypton is just so well produced. I mean, it's just got a lot of great action. It's got a lot of great special effects. And then you take a look at S.H.I.E.L.D., and they don't look like they have the same budget. And I've got superheroes, and the most I ever really see is Quake rippling things from time to time.
Ooh, that's kind of the Heroes effect sort of thing.
Yeah, and then she ends up getting into street fights. And it's like, if I had the power to destroy an entire planet, why am I engaging in street-level battle with anybody?
But they haven't done the flashing lights behind a door that's being held back by Mohinder, have they?
Yeah, one of the most impressive battles that never got to be seen would be Nathan Petrelli. Nathan Petrelli versus Siler that we never got to see.
Never got to see. God, but there were some nice flashing strobe lights.
That was horrible and just shows you when you don't have a budget.
I think one of the problems with S.H.I.E.L.D. though is because it's been on for so long and the main characters have been with it, they've probably demanded so much money now.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah,
that they
budgetary
don't have,
stuff.
Yeah, they're like, okay, so we're going to spend money on you and that leaves, you know, a couple bucks for CGI. What do you got?
Our special effects budget are flashlights.
Well, it's my flashlight on my keychain.
Yeah, here's what I know about television contracts. I usually have you sign up for 7 seasons. So this is season 6.
Oh,
so
they might
as far as asking for more money, that would probably be after season 7, usually how that, so that shouldn't be a problem unless maybe something happened we don't know about, like Vicky said. But I just feel like, you know, for whatever reason, other shows are able to put more money into stuff. I don't know why Krypton looks as good as it does.
Yeah.
And of course, I watched Star Trek Voyager. Granted, that's a pay app, but they put $8 million bucks into each episode.
Discovery?
That too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Discovery. That's right, that show. And it's, so I'm, my eyes are watching stuff like that, mm-hmm. and then I watch S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm like, ooh, it's just tough.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you watch Krypton, it's like kind of watching like episodes of a movie, in like a movie form. Ooh. That's how like... detailed like the costumes are and the sets. Yeah, they it's very odd.
So you guys are really down on Krypton.
And I can't believe
cool, man.
Yeah, and it's amazing they have the budget for that
what
to make that look
again?
That good.
Sci-fi.
Krypton.
No, what channel? Sci-fi?
Sci-fi. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, wow.
And sci-fi also hasn't been known to have the greatest budget for a lot of things.
Oh, goodness no. Have you ever seen their movies?
Oh, yeah. But the scary thing with it is when they do have a great budget, like with The Expanse, it's like, okay, how long is it going to be diminishing returns and they're going to cancel Krypton the way they canceled The Expanse? Thank goodness Amazon Prime's picking that up.
You've been hurt too many times, BJ.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, all the way back to Farscape.
I know.
Sci-fi.
Dark Matter. I'm still hurting.
Yeah, Dark Matter's another great example. It's just, if the show looks good, you go, well, then how long is it going to be on? Because how much money do they have?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to get a show that doesn't look that good that's on for a long time.
Well, I guess keep watching S.H.I.E.L.D. until it's over then, huh, BJ?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And we get the Killjoys starting back up for their fifth and final season at Sci-Fi. At least we know that's going to get its right core. And
that's cool, at least. Yeah. At least you'll be able to get to the ending.
And in case you're wondering, they also have Deadly Class, The Magicians.
Deadly Class got canceled.
So they had Deadly Class. I'm trying to say like what other ones they have done just to kind of get. They also had Face Off. So yeah, they don't really have a good track record.
I wanted
to double check. I'm like, there has
Alphas.
To be something.
You remember Alphas?
No.
This was an interesting one that you told me you'd watch, BJ, because I didn't realize the name of it made me not want to watch it whatsoever. Then I find out it's about maybe a killer robot.
Oh yes,
I Am Mother.
Yes, this is it's a Netflix movie, and you know what? This was just somebody had said, "Hey, are you going to watch this?" And I'm like, "Didn't even know this was on my radar."
Mm-hmm.
And it had just had come out, and it is a really cool. It's a slower movie. If you remember, you saw Moon with Sam Rockwell.
That was such a good movie.
So it's got that pacing.
Okay,
it's got that feel, but it's a great, great story, and it stars. I'll tell you, it stars some really, really good people that we know. Rose Byrne is in it. She plays the voice of the mother robot, basically. And Hilary Swank is in it, and Hilary Swank is a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the daughter, who's played by Clara Rugard, and I don't know much about her, but she does a really great job. But the idea is that we see a post-apocalyptic world, something really bad has happened to Earth, and we just start off with a movie where this child is born, and a robot is taking care of it. A robot is its mother, raising it basically from infancy all the way until she looks like she might be 18-ish. And I mean, it looks like the robot's doing a great job. The child's doing a great job. We know there's been some trouble outside that's destroyed the world. And this looks like this is a backup plan to save humanity.
Okay, yeah,
you can tell there's a lot of like embryos that are saved. And we get to see this one embryo pulled out. And it turns out it's going to be this child that we follow for the entire movie. All I will tell you is that when Hilary Swank enters the scene, what we think was going on may not be what's going on.
Really?
And then it's a great sci-fi mystery thriller as to what the hell's going on, and you know, who's a good guy, who's not a good guy, what the hell's really happening. It's really done well. It's very, very done well, and I was, you know, sometimes you get surprised and you get a really cool movie that's sci-fi on Netflix. It's tough to do sci-fi well
and
with a little budget.
And that's one of those things, too, when you're looking at something along these lines, is that A, it's not a series, it's a movie on Netflix, and you don't necessarily know what that's going to turn out to be. I remember watching Bright, which was the one with Will Smith.
Yeah, the fantasy-based one, sort of.
And I didn't necessarily have any expectations, because you just don't know. I mean, sure, Will Smith is in it, but we just talked about budgetary stuff, and how much money are you putting in to have Will Smith, and where is it going to come from? And I actually thought that was a solid movie. I know some people poo-pooed on it, but I really enjoyed it.
It was a decent movie. I agree, Rev. I thought it was a very clever movie.
Yeah.
Where you involve the fantasy realm with the buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, who's doing it? Let's do it. It's just, you know, I mean, there are some cool things that are done out there that Netflix gives us. I mean, hell, Amazon Prime, I wouldn't even know about.
Yeah.
A lot of folks, Journey Quest, which, you know, is a great fantasy series that's fan done and fan, and that's,
and we'll be talking about that on Monday's podcast.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, little teaser there. But these are things that are out there that, thank goodness, the Netflixes and the Primes will allow us to see. And you're right. I mean, this also, a sci-fi movie that doesn't have a lot of action but is still good. I think of Ex Machina. I think of Arrival. Mm-hmm. I think of Interstellar. These are really good movies, but they're not the pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that even when you go back to the original Star Trek, that one, it would have some action scenes, but I also wanted to kickstart your brain, and even much more with The Next Generation, where it was more about diplomacy and thinking and being the thinking man's science
and
fiction.
And it's tough to do that. That's been the complaint with some people about Star Trek Discovery is there's a lot of action, but really they wanted to still capture the essence of the thinking man. So, I mean, I go all the way back to 2001 in Space Odyssey. That
movie
is very slow.
Super slow.
But it's, you know, for its time and everything else like that, it was epic, which is what sci-fi can be as well. So I recommend I Am Mother. It's
excellent.
Hey, if you've got Netflix, it's definitely worth the price.
Exactly. Thanks so much, man. Now let's talk some other television news with Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach. Gareth Von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And Gareth, there's some interesting television news, starting off with our favorite newer Jedi. Maybe or not. We don't know how Rey is, but Daisy Ridley might be taking on a comic book character.
Yes, this is the interesting rumors. Now, like I said, we are at the time where we have two big conventions coming up, so we're going to get a lot of rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened is that Warner Brothers, who we have talked how Warner Brothers supposedly are not going to be doing the big Hall H movie presentation at San Diego Comic-Con, but they most certainly are going to be there promoting their television shows. And as we got the list of, you know, stuff you expect, Supernatural, Arrow, Black Lightning, you know, Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash, the usual shows, they came out and said, oh, yeah, we're also going to debut the Ruby Rose Batgirl series. We're going to show the premiere episode. Stuff you would expect. That's kind of how they work.
Yeah.
And then right in the middle of all this comes, oh, by the way, apparently Warner Brothers is pursuing Daisy Ridley to be Batgirl in the film franchise.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And so that's where this comes out. And we're all sitting here going, okay, you're not going to be there. But see, you know, again, it's that show game. They're not doing a Hall H panel, but maybe they're going to be there somewhere else. And, you know, so I was talking to someone and I said, they don't normally like to mix film and TV, but, you know, would it be out of the realm of possibility to right in the middle of the panel as they're promoting the TV show? Maybe somebody from the audience asks a question about this and something slips from a producer other than, oh, I only deal with the television side. I don't know. But see, you're at the time of year where all the rumors are coming out. And naturally, it would make sense. I mean, if there are all sorts of casting rumors going around for upcoming science fiction and comic book based shows. But it would make sense. I mean, she's pretty much made it clear that her time in Star Wars is done. Now, she's not ruling it out, but, you know, the next film is supposed to wrap the trilogy. So, yes, I could see somebody going to her saying, look, she's young, she's got a name, time to go ahead and hit her up. The fans like her.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and hit her up and see if we can lock her into a, you know, a film franchise for us.
I'd be fine with that. And I mean, people do. And I mean, you look at the same sort of thing in terms of the WB has shows like Flash. And obviously the movie Flash is different from that Flash. So you can have a difference of characters on the different shows, you know, via TV and movie. So it would be fine for that. And it would be cool to see Daisy in something like that. More geek stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and like you said, the Flash movie thing is in limbo. We've heard all sorts of stories about it's going to come, it's not going to come. We've heard stories about how they're going to end up recasting it. Then we hear, well, maybe not. And, you know, it is a whole separate topic about people say the dysfunction, shall we say, compared to what is happening over on the Marvel side of things. But the bottom line is they're moving forward. And, you know, let's talk about the casting. I remember when Ruby Rose was announced, people were like, I don't know how that's going to work. She's, you know, got to show the tattoos and blah, 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 blah. And when she came out in that costume, that was completely convincing.
Yeah.
It was like, wow.
Yeah.
She did not think she would look like that. But, you know, the whole time we're watching it going, my God, is that really Ruby Rose? I mean,
and it's funny. They're like, oh, hey, yeah, tattoos are going to be an issue. It's like, guys, we have CGI to make a guy like Mark Ruffalo look like Hulk. I don't think tattoos are going to be an issue.
Oh, exactly.
I love it. Moving on from that, this is, I love this because I don't know if necessarily anybody asked for it, but when this was announced, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. We're getting maybe a Flash Gordon animated series.
Yeah, and, no, and this is not a bad thing because, you know, you think about the timing. I'm going to age myself with this one, but I remember being a little guy when the movie came out.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I know it's campy beyond belief, but I looked back and I go, people forget that that whole soundtrack by Queen was done in secret. They had just put out an album a few months before. They had literally did that, were gearing up for a tour, and they put the entire soundtrack out. And it's like, you know, here's some legitimacy that one of the biggest rock groups at the time did a full soundtrack for your film, and it came out, and sure, it was campy, and yeah, you know, we've heard all the stories about how they dubbed Sam J. Jones's lines and all of this, but it had that visual look, and look at the number of stars that went on from that film, not only the ones they had, but like young Timothy Dalton, Brian Bless, so on and so forth, and they always had plans for sequels, but due to a number of issues, it never happened. And I was kind of worried. It was kind of like the whole Buck Rogers in the 25th century thing that they've been trying to reboot forever, where there's this huge debate over who has the rights. And then you get, I'll see if I can say it right. I can never say the poor man's name right. Taika Waititi.
Yeah, Taika Waititi. Yeah, you did that pretty good, man.
All right. He apparently is going to do an animated version of it. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, this is not a bad idea because it gives you the creativity because you don't have to go in there and say, all right, first we got to cast a Flash, and then we've got to go and make these elaborate sets and the costumes and the visual effects. I think this is a perfect thing because you can make a really good animated setup on a reasonable budget, and it lets them test the waters to say, okay, is there a live action film? Is there a live action TV series here? Are there video games here? Merchandise, toys, all of the stuff that does it, or are we just better off staying at that? But I think it'll be really interesting because let's not forget the boost that that film got from Ted and Ted 2. I mean, I've run into Sam at some conventions recently.
Yeah, right.
He's like, it was a godsend. You know, yeah, people knew me as Flash Gordon, but this made a whole new set of people who were Family Guy fans and so on and so forth who hear these jokes and they're like, okay, what's this all about? And then they go on Google and they're like, oh, maybe I need to check this film out. And then they stick it in Ted and boom, and it took off. So I'm really curious to see what they come up with.
I love it. I love it. Now, finally, this is an interesting one, but now it makes sense because of the whole merger and such. The Simpsons are going to be a feature at D23.
Absolutely. And, you know, and this was a great thing because we had talked about, we knew we're getting a lot of stuff starting to come in. And, you know, the other day we got the outline of the Disney Film Studios and Pixar plans, like whether they're going to be and so on. Now, they're, of course, obviously not saying which films are going to be revealed in the next couple of years, but we've already heard about a couple of them. And so things are starting to leak out. And the big question that I had always said is when they do their showcases, they tend to be, and this is just, you know, like a small part of what they do, but there tends to be a setup. You've got Marvel, you've got Lucasfilm, you have Disney Live Action, Disney Animation, you have Pixar. And of course, they have other things that deal with in other panels and events and things on the floor that deal with things like the merchandise, the cruise ships, the theme parks, the hotels, all other aspects of Disney. And we were debating a lot. We figured, okay, Disney Plus, the streaming service, they're probably going to hit that pretty hard here.
Yeah, right.
We had debated, would they start folding Fox properties that they acquired into this D23, or would they just keep it traditional Disney, and maybe in 2 years' time when they do their next D23, roll them in? And apparently, at least as far as The Simpsons are, they're full on. Now, we know that The Simpsons are going to be available at launch with the Disney Plus service. Yeah. They've announced that the entire series is going to be there. And what I find really cool about this is it's not just, hey, the Simpsons are going to come out. Apparently, Matt Groening and the people, they're bringing the bigwigs out here, and they're pushing it.
Really?
And this is interesting because you think about this. They're going to be at Comic-Con, as they always are, pushing the Simpsons. And then a couple weeks later, they're going to be down, about a month later, they're going to be down in Anaheim pushing the show. So, you know, as I understand it, they currently have two more seasons on their current order for episodes. And it looks to me like Disney is going beyond just, hey, get Disney Plus to watch The Simpsons. They're putting a major push behind this show. And, of course, this has led to all the other rumors. You know, we go back to the CinemaCon where there was the huge debate that would they address them. And all they basically said was Aliens, Avatar, the R-rated properties, the Fox properties, we are committed to them. And that was that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that started the, well, is this Disney Plus? Is this Hulu? But it does look like they are ready to move sooner rather than later, and they're going to push the Fox properties. Now, of course, people have said to me, well, is Family Guy the next one that's going to show up there? Or what about the Orville? What about
that? Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that's putting the cart ahead of the horse. I think on shows like that, they're saying they've got their niche at Comic-Con. Let them run there. Is there going to be a place for a standee, posters, merchandise? Sure, absolutely. But they probably have so much stuff just with their existing Disney properties to fill the show.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be the hard part of, we've got all of these assets, how do we start folding them into the show? But the fact is that they immediately, of what has been announced, The Simpsons was the one that they went right for and said, boom, bang. And for all those naysayers that say, oh, the show's not good, it's dying, blah, blah, it's still drawn in the audience and people are still excited to hear about it. So I'm really curious to see what they have for us.
Exactly. And I think this is a good thing for them to do, is you put out with the Disney Plus, you have all the Disney products, but then you have The Simpsons as well. This is a great marriage for that. And again, it also leads the way to more stuff. But at this point with The Simpsons, there's over 20 seasons of stuff. This is a lot of programming. So I love it. Gareth, thank you so much, man. Again, Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net. Thanks, dude.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Gareth. And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, it's Friday. That means movies.
Movie time. And there's nothing more that says summer like going into a dark room inside for a couple hours.
Yeah, it's air conditioning and usually a couple hours, especially nowadays with the movies.
And then you have the kids out of school and, you know, you need to do something.
Yeah.
They're driving you crazy.
Those little so-and-sos.
So why don't you take them to Annabelle?
It's a good old horror movie. Hey, Vicky, how did that work out for you?
Not good.
Yeah, right.
Annabelle Comes Home is, I believe, the second of the franchise.
There have been so many that have been offshoots of the Annabelle franchise, too.
Because this is part of the Conjuring franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
So it's kind of hard to tell. But if you guys like horror movies, I mean, this is the tricky thing with reviews with a horror movie.
Yes.
It's getting 66%, which is actually...
It's fresh.
It's fresh for a horror movie.
And it's that's pretty decent when it comes down to horror movies in general.
But it is getting a 73% audience score.
Oh, solid. All right.
So if you like The Conjuring and you like horror, it seems like this is the one.
And I've been seeing everywhere that it's supposed to be real, real creepy.
No, it's a creepy doll. That's for darn sure.
So I'm staying away from that. That one...
creepy doll.
There's actually another horror movie coming out that I kind of want to see. But I don't
really.
It's not coming out this week, but it's from the same people that did like Hereditary. Yes,
that too.
But it's like these people go to like a festival, and then weird, creepy stuff happens, but you don't know what happens, and that's kind of what I want to watch. I'm like, what's killing them? Is it a monster? Is it a demon? Is it humans? Anyways.
But you're a little scared.
I'm scared.
I know. What we'll have to do is we'll just have to tell you that we're going to go see a nice, fun movie and then strap you in for this one. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Why are you tying me up?
Oh, because
no
the fun.
Reason.
It's so much fun. You'll just be jumping around and we can't have that in the theater. Yeah,
it's so like, I'm turned on. What?
Oh, dear.
Another one. I know BJ's going to hate this.
Okay.
Because I consider it nerdy historical fiction.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, it's a reimagining of Hamlet told from Ophelia's perspective.
Oh.
You know how much you love Shakespeare.
I actually heard about this being redone.
Really?
Yeah, so the movie's called Ophelia, and it stars Daisy Ridley, Naomi Watts, and Clive Owen.
Oh, look at that. It's very British.
Oh, very Clive British. Owen. So, do you guys remember anything about Hamlet?
No.
Or who
no.
she is?
Hamlet's a chick?
Hamlet's a dude. Ophelia's the chick.
Oh, okay.
About
gotcha.
Who Ophelia is. No, I do not know.
And this is a reimagining, so I'm assuming the movie's going to be different, but in the stories or in the play, Hamlet was, I think, supposed to marry Ophelia, and then Hamlet's going all crazy, and she ends up dying in a river.
Oh.
Committing suicide.
So this is her story. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's her perspective.
Okay.
And, of course, Daisy Ridley is playing Ophelia.
All right. It's interesting because, I mean, obviously she's not going to have any Jedi powers, but watching her, I'm just going to be hoping that she has Jedi powers. So,
Well, I will say this. A lot of science fiction and a lot of fantasy stories do somehow have a Shakespearean core to them.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, I can understand why geeks would want to check this out.
And Tom Felton's also in this.
Good old Tommy! Dracoy. Draco Malfoy.
Somehow I knew exactly what you're talking about.
I feel like that should be his name.
Dracoy.
Is there anything else on the old movies there?
I mean, yes, but you already know about it. Avengers is re-coming out this weekend with more footage.
Avengers
footage. Endgame, I should
yes,
say.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'll go watch it, you guys.
And
you don't have to worry,
up.
And I'll let you know what's going on.
I forgot to say Ophelia's getting 60% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Ah, nice.
I'll wait for the Blu-ray to see the extra stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get the Blu-ray as well, but I'm going to see this in the theaters, too.
I might go see a movie and time it out to just kind of sneak in during the credits.
And we did get word from somebody who got to see Spider-Man Far From Home that they loved it.
Yeah.
So we heard from one of our listeners.
And that is coming out on July 2nd, so it is next Tuesday. Yeah, yep. Next week, so it's not next Friday.
Yes.
That makes sense because of the holiday.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why.
And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.